Hey everybody, how are you? We're coming to you live from Harlem in New York City. And this is Alex, and this is The Ramble. My, there's Lori Thompson. That's a very nice frock you have on today, a very good color.
Well, thank you. I was feeling summer festive, and I used to wear kerchiefs in college all the time. I had a wide array of colors.
You were known as the kerchief girl?
Well, among other things.
Yeah.
But
Cheap slut, I think, was the other one.
No, I wasn't promiscuous in college at all. Well, I've never really been. I'm kind of a serial monogamist.
Did you ever get really promiscuous?
I never did, really. It just never... It diluted the experience if you didn't have something going with the person.
Yeah.
Something emotional.
Oh, so you had to have something emotional going. Well,
It meant more. So one night stands were never my thing.
And I think women generally are more protective of themselves that way than men are, because we don't have the fear of pregnancy.
And that's a big one with us from the time we're six. We're warned about that.
Yeah.
And do you know men are getting HPV, that virus, though?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, from going down.
That's why they're saying they should give it to males as well. That HPV thing they do when kids are growing up.
It would probably be advisable. Yeah. Because giving these sexual enthusiasms and the habits of the human population.
They're giving them HPV vaccine or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I like ointments. You put them on, you go about your business. You don't interfere with your internal ecology, just topical.
Yeah, yeah. So I was thinking the other day, I was watching some old video I had sitting around here. And I one thing led to another, and I remembered that we had gone to the Barcelona Olympics together.
Oh yeah,
and that was really one of the best Olympics I think we ever had anything to do with. I think the second best was Lillehammer. It was nice.
Oh, Lillehammer was gorgeous. There was such a spirit of community, international community, and because you can't drive in the Storgata area. And so that just made it even more brilliant.
Yeah. You couldn't drive in a Lillehammer?
No, they had that area called the Storgata, which is essentially the town, the center of town.
Okay.
So you couldn't, it just really made everything more friendly, more camaraderie, everything.
It's the place where you buy trolls.
Yeah, yes. I don't remember seeing any Norwegian trolls.
There's something about Norway. They look upon the troll as a wonderful thing, okay? So everybody has to have in their home a troll.
Right, displayed.
Or outside their door, a troll. Uh-huh. And my friend Steve, no longer with us, but Steve said to me, well, if you're going there, bring me back a troll. Uh-huh. So I got a huge troll for him.
I vaguely remember the troll thing.
And I got myself a smaller troll.
so they could pal around.
But schlepping that thing back home was ridiculous. I'm having to put a troll in my, in the bin up above the seats,
Yeah. And because they're anything fragile, because we... For the reason of when Rick, my husband, takes long walks, like 4 mile walks, he used to take them every day, and he would just find a bunch of coins. He'd find just all kinds of coins in various shapes. Because trucks run over them.
He must be looking at the ground a lot when he's walking.
I think he is because he barrels. He walks 4 miles.
I can't even walk 4 miles anymore. I can walk a mile.
Yeah, I can walk four. I know because we did it this past trip.
You're young kids compared to me.
We're whippersnappers.
I actually have to use a cane now.
But you could make it work because you could do the dapper thing. or you could, you know, have a really cool cane.
Yeah, but I don't have a cool cane yet. I'm not willing to admit that I need one. Actually, I can walk without it. Okay.
Yeah.
But it gives me a sense of security from about falling, because I took a couple of amazing falls in the last year or so.
Yeah.
And I realized that because of my neuropathy and stuff, my feet do not talk to my brain quite as well as they used to. And so I have the cane just to kind of, it's not to support me when I'm walking. It's to help me if I fall.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you could make it stylish, you know, like the Monopoly guy.
Well, I'm thinking of getting a more stylish one than I have. I have one of the standard ones you can get at Amazon, but there's a $50 version that's got like a wolf's head on it, you know. Like
that. That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the Olympics, were you with me when I ran into O.J. Simpson?
Was I with you? Yeah. I was the one that went to the bar and ordered our Diet Coke and beer.
Right, right.
That he put on his tab.
He put it on his tab?
Yeah. And so I rarely say O.J. Simpson bought us drinks, because that implies that you know, hey, how are you? You know, yeah. That a kind of schmoozy thing. He didn't. It wasn't that way. I was standing probably 5 feet from him.
Yeah.
And I was getting our usual standard order, a cerveza and a Diet Coke for you. And he just said, put those on my tab, which I thought was kind of classy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you've liked him ever since?
No. I mean, I like him enough till he killed that pretty white wife of his.
Yeah, but he was there. I took a shot of him walking, but I remember he was in that bar. I do remember he was in that bar.
Yeah.
But boy, you remember stuff I don't remember.
I do have a strong emotional memory.
Would have a memory of that, because O.J. Simpson picked up the tab for your Coke.
Well, and because he was O.J. Simpson, and he is a rather handsome man.
And at that time, a big celebrity.
Yeah. And he was there, you know, because he was a good commentator of not just football. I don't think football at the Olympics, I don't think they have. They may. I don't know. Did you know that cornhole is now a professional sport?
What?
Have you ever heard of cornhole?
Cornhole?
It's where you
take I've heard it as a term used for one's butt.
They keep it upscale, yeah. But they you take these bean bags, which, you know, are various sizes, but usually hand size, and then at each end, you have and the court can be as long or as short as you like it to be, and then there is a target which is on a slant, and it's made of wood, except in the center there's a hole. And so you stand at the other end and toss your beanbag, hoping it will go into the hole. And then the one with the most holes wins the event. But it is a professional sport, and ESPN's all over it already.
I can imagine.
Yeah, should you and I go and try out as a, you know, as a duo?
I hate to tell anybody I'm playing cornhole.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just kind of naughty.
Anyway, so getting back to the Olympics, because that was a great Olympics.
What happened was that
the time before, I had told you, boy, Barcelona, I don't know how they're going to get that place cleaned up. Because what happened was when Franco ran the country, he hated Barcelona because it was part of what they called Catalonia, were the Catalonians who really were anti-Franco. So he tried to starve them out, literally, by not supplying them with anything. So when the first time I went to Barcelona, it was the grayest, saddest town I've ever been to in my life. When we went back, Franco had died.
Yes, and he's still dead.
Don Jose, was it, that took over? What was his name?
I cannot remember.
Well, anyway, what happened was Franco fought for the country to have a, you know, a aristocracy, a king and a queen, whatever.
Monarchy.
Well, the original king of Spain had fled with his son. And Franco said, send me your son and I will train him to be the next leader of this country, because he said, once I die, I have stated that we will return the monarchy to Spain.
Oh.
So they sent him this kid, and he raised this kid. I can't remember, was it Don Jose or Don? I can't remember. Anyway, I don't remember anything anymore, but I do remember this story. So what happened was he sent him the kid, and he raised the kid, and he taught the kid how to be a leader, which in Franco's case was being a iron-fisted leader, right?
And not warm and cuddly.
As soon as Franco died, this kid went, well, I've been bullshitting him all these years. I'm going to make this a democracy. I know I'm the king, and you can still call me the king, and you can still let me live in this nice place, and I have a lot of money and things like that, but I'm making this country a democracy. And he declared Spain a democracy.
So he was a democracy mogul.
Yeah, so in at the time, I considered him one of the greatest leaders on the face of the earth, because this guy was, you know, what he called? He was giving up his right.
Yeah, to be king.
To be king, you know? To allow these people to be a democracy. Well, all of a sudden, there was a faction of conservatives who liked the idea of a dictator, and they went and held the Congress or whatever they have over there hostage. They had guns and everything, and were holding up and trying to prevent him from allowing this thing to become a democracy.
Yeah, January 6th.
But he fought him and he won, and it became a democracy. And when we went there, I said, I warned you ahead of time. I remember. Gee, you know, Barcelona's not the greatest place in the world. It's really a mess.
Right.
They had completely cleaned it up. They had dredged the port. They had done everything. They literally had cleaned that city up like you wouldn't believe. And it was wonderful. It was radiant. All the fountains, which weren't working when I was there, were now working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. It was a great place to hold an Olympics.
Yeah, well, the cities get such a makeover for the Olympics that if you go right after the Olympics, you avoid the crowds and you enjoy all these wonderful amenities that they facelift.
The facelift still exists. I mean, they didn't let it down at all, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a great – we went to the opening ceremonies there, you know.
Remember when they shot an – I don't know if this was Barcelona, but they shot an arrow – and with TV cameras and angles, it looked like he got the arrow through the Olympic flame. But we were there, and you and I, we had some conspiracy theories. Like, did it really, or did it go slightly to the right, or slightly?
It didn't matter. It was going to light up anyway.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
But what amazed me is that right across from where we were sitting was the grandstand for the dignitaries. And all the big leaders of the world were there.
Yeah. G8 is a big deal. But the Olympics is an international, it's a global event. Yeah. And that's why, you know, plus it's fun.
I mean, I think Castro was there.
I believe.
Sitting in that stand. I mean, if you had dropped a bomb in that stand, you would have lost hundreds of world leaders.
Yeah, the security for that kind of event has to be off the charts.
Yeah, but it was wonderful, and I think we saw one of the four tenors sing there.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was one of the Olympics, and I think that might have been it was Pavarotti, Placido Domingo.
Yeah, that was Barcelona.
Was it? And there was a chick singer, Donna Summer, I think, was there, and they do a version of Bette Midler's From a Distance. Google it. It's YouTube. Fantastic.
But now, the biggest night we had, and I was watching it as a video, because there's a video of it, was when we went to the mini stadium
mm-hmm.
which is crowned at the top of the hill by that giant castle, as it was,
mm-hmm.
with an amusement park next to it.
Tibidabo.
In other words, Tibidabo. Boy, I'm glad you remember these things. Tibidabo, which is this beautiful church. It's just magnificent. And next to it is a Ferris wheel.
Oh, man.
And I never could figure out who thought that one up.
Oh, and it's a contagion across Europe now. Everybody has one. I think we went to one in, was it, not Prague.
But right next to a beautiful church.
Right, no, they've kind of got a clue that that might be a little too much of a dichotomy for most people.
But it was a beautiful church. And right next to it, the thing that was most prominent you could see from the bottom of the hill was the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
I finally went up there one day, maybe years later when I went back. And I went up to Tibidabo, and it's a place to see. And, the Ferris wheel was still there. I think there's a roller coaster there and a merry-go-round. And
now so many prominent cities in Europe have one, not next to churches.
Oh, but who said God Ferris wheel? You know,
yeah.
But
Budapest has one.
But what happened at the mini stadium is we saw, I think, the greatest concert I've ever been to.
Oh, yeah. And it helped, too, that we met a certain EJ right before the show.
Yes. This was Elton John's big concert at the mini stadium. And we got to go backstage and meet with Elton, who I reminded him when I was there. I said, you know that I was the first person to interview you when you came to the United States for the first time on your first tour. Because he came and I did an interview with him at WPLJ. And his response was, oh, yeah, okay. Like, it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
He created such a sensation when he did that some series of engagements at the Troubadour. And everyone Hollywood influence was there. Celebrities. And he became their darling because these shows were so phenomenal. And those were his first concerts in the United States. And it went fabulous. I mean, classic.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was just, I think, one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
I mean, people were just dancing like crazy.
Yeah.
To all the music. I mean,
and plus, people are so excited. Because was it before the opening ceremony, like the night before? Anyway, people are just so jazzed to be at the Olympics. I mean, it's for many people, a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And so the crowd is so stirred up. I mean, he could have just played Tiny Dancer for 3 hours, and people would have
been the thing is that what I was amazed by is that I knew he had hits. You know, I was a disc jockey, and I played music, but I talked about music later on. So, of course, I knew about him and all that he had done.
Yeah.
I did not realize at that point, which was still early on in his career, the totality of the hits that he had already had. Because he started
amazing.
Playing one right after another, Benny and the Jets, and this thing and that thing. He hadn't even gotten to the point in his career where he had written your song yet, and he still had, like, one hit after another, and everybody was dancing. It was the most exciting gathering. It was 75,000 people.
Yeah. I think he'd written your song, because I just read Bernie Taupin's memoir, mm-hmm. which is very good. And your song was one, it was kind of like an album cut, but then disc jockeys picked up on it, I think in 75, maybe 76, something like that. But it wasn't one of his big, big hits. It was a deep cut, an album cut. But that was so fun, man. That was just...
But that concert was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And we got to meet him right before. I mean, he was talking with us through our friends from Atlanta who did a morning show. John had just moved to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he stopped at the end of our conversation. He walked to the piano. I mean, that was how, most artists, they need at least an hour, maybe two, in their green room, dressing room, so they can just get psyched for their show. But he just was talking to us.
We had barely time to get up to our seats to watch the beginning of it.
Exactly. Yeah, Barcelona was my favorite Olympics.
Yeah. And he was just phenomenal. I just remember that concert, and I was watching it, and actually you can see where we were sitting.
Really?
You know, when they take side shot of the thing.
And my friend, I just visited in St. Louis. We were talking because Elton John came on, and it was for something political. And I swear, his hair pieces have gotten so out there. He looks like a house draw from Akron, Ohio. He really does. He looks like a woman. And so it's
just now.
Do you
really think so? I think his hair pieces have been pretty good as of late.
Really? Now, to me, they just look very, not as outrageous as Phil Spector's, but it makes him look like a bunch of women in the Midwest that I grew up with and who were really excited to start collecting Social Security.
Well, I've been told that he actually had to wear a hairpiece now because happened was he, at some point, decided, I don't like being bald, so I will get some kind of work done on my head to make it, you know. I think there's one thing where they actually cut your scalp here and then brought it together. He tried it, but he was trying everything. So his head was kind of looking like a battle zone.
and so he was forced
to start wearing hair pieces.
Plus, you can't really grow hair on a star very effectively. You know, they usually grow around them. Because I've got a deep one, man, clear to the middle of my head from when I was wearing tube socks on hardwood floors, hardwood steps, and I felt myself falling. So I grabbed the hall tree and it just came down on me and made a bigger fall and cut me from here, from the hairline to way back here.
Really?
Yeah, and I knew I was
hurt. So you have kind of a bald spot there or something?
No. It's, I don't know if I can show it to you, but it starts about here and it's a line. It just goes back.
Wow.
And it was bleeding profusely. I knew the best thing, ice, man. If you put ice on anything you injure in the first minute or 2 minutes, it will make the healing process zoom, no pun intended. Yeah.
But anyway, we were at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, and we got these little boxes with stuff in them that you're supposed to use during it, like the little, we're supposed to light up these glow sticks and things like that. I didn't use any of it. I kept that box for years.
Oh my gosh, and hello, eBay.
It still might be in storage. I don't know. I can't remember what happened to it exactly.
That's cool, because my husband's mother, she went to Olympics, and I think it was in Atlanta, and bought the pin set from all the sponsors in a frame.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
Well, folks, if you ever look at a copy of that Olympics, what year was that? Do you remember?
94, I want to say, or 96.
Maybe 94. Maybe 94, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, 94. If you see the Olympics and you see all these glow sticks light up at the Olympics in the opening ceremony, there's one little missing glow stick. That's because I didn't use my... In fact, I think I actually got somebody else's as well and brought it back and gave it to somebody.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's like when we went to Carnival.
Yeah.
You know, they give you all kinds of things to help you participate in Carnival. Yeah. And you get yours, and then you kind of look around and get a spare for a friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They gave us commemorative shirts. They gave us a lot of Carnival swag.
And then we went to quite a few Olympics. We went to the Atlanta. I think we went to the you
Albertville.
Went to some I didn't. We went to Albertville.
Yeah.
We went to Lillehammer. But you went to Nagano.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't with the station at the time, you know, so I didn't get to go to that one.
But it was wonderful. I mean, we had great seats. Coca-Cola does everything really quality.
They did a nice job.
Yeah, and we had like business class or first class seats on the plane, which they, of course, paid for. And we got sushi, you know, for our snack, which I love, sushi.
Yeah, well, don't tell me about that Olympics, because I missed it and I felt bad about it.
Oh, Ben, it sucked. So, tell
me it sucked, okay?
It blew chunks.
Okay. Hey, listen, we've run out of time here.
Oh, man.
But I knew that that would cause us to have a discussion about,
yes,
about the Barcelona Olympics, which I think was the best we ever went to.
Oh, the best.
Without question.
Yeah, far and away. And the first,
yeah,
too.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
that's Lori Thompson. Wave goodbye, Lori. Bye-bye.
Year. This is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, okay. The sound went all wrong. Oh, look at that. See that? Oh, well, that happens now and then, doesn't it? Oh, let's see here if I can fix that. Let's see here. Let me get my Alex camera. And then I got to go up to filters. I got to go to Alex camera, filters. And then I've got to go here. And then I've got to do this. There we go. Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay. And we go close. And I think we're fine now. All right? Okay. That's because I'm wearing this shirt that's kind of like a green shirt in a way. And it reads it wrong. And sometimes I have a little trouble with the blue screen, or green screen, actually. It's a green screen back here. So anyway, well, I'm okay now. I'm all right. There we go. By the way, this is the last show of the week. We're not doing tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 4th of July, and what the heck, you know. It's not a good thing for us to do. On the 4th of July, we want to celebrate America's birthday, all right? And then because it's the end of the week and there's an extra day, I figure we won't do it Friday either. Okay, does that suit all of you? Do you agree with that? Okay, we won't do it on Friday either. What I'm doing in the meantime, however, is I'm installing a brand new piece of equipment in here, and it will give me a chance to install it without having all the problems that one would have with installing it, okay? It happens to be a new mixer for this show, and it is top of the line, okay? I went out and I said, Marjorie says, oh, how's your new toy? And I keep telling her, it's not a toy, it's a tool. It is a tool. So I went out and bought a new board. It ran me around $750, but it's wonderful. It's all digital, and it lights up with all these different colors and everything, and it really looks terrific, you know. So anyway, I thought I should show you. Here's a picture of it. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can bring this up. Computer. There we go. And where's my computer? I don't know where that is, however. So I don't know where to bring it up. Here, we'll just do it here. We'll do it this way. Okay, so you can see it. Okay, see, that's it. See how beautiful that is? How gorgeous it is? It's wonderful. All those little buttons there, you see those colored buttons? Yeah, I can actually put music and stuff on those and have various elements of the show on there. So, anyway, that's I thought I'd show that to you. Okay. I don't know what happened. I guess I lost my thing that says computer on here. But, anyway, we're ready to go. We should talk to some of the people. There are only three waiting. And this is the last chance for people to come on here all week. So here they come. Here comes Charlie Wallace, and here comes there's Alan, and we're waiting. Trucker Steve is trying to get on here, but he hasn't hit the button yet. So you know, let's see here. Charlie's wearing a. Here comes Trucker Steve. Okay, here we go. There he is. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Okay. Yes, I can.
I can barely hear you.
Okay.
Oh, and I can hear you, Charlie, but I can't hear Trucker Steve.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, yeah, okay. You sound fine now. And let's see here. And we have Alan, too. So, hi, Alan. How are you? And here comes Jeff. Jeff is joining us. So, you know. So, this is our last show of the week. I talked to Amy, and I told her I'm not doing shows tonight, tomorrow night or Friday, and if she wanted to take them off, she could. And she said, no, I'll do them both nights.
All right.
So, okay, so good, you know, if she decides. But then she may decide at the last minute, and, you know, so I'm not guaranteeing anything. But I'm going to take it as a little vacation off, and I'll probably get all frustrated with installing this new equipment. So, you know, better I don't do a show the rest of the week. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Good today.
Yeah. And let's see here. What does the shirt say, Charlie?
Oh, it says, "You matter. Unless you multiply yourself by the speed of light twice, then you energy."
Then you what?
Energy.
Your energy. I see.
E equals MC squared.
Okay. All right. Oh, boy. Okay.
Uh-huh. Give me a physicist. He'll laugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's, you know, he's into physics humor. The only physics physics I really know are laxatives. So, you know. And Alan, hello, Alan.
Hello, Alex. What's new?
What's new?
You got your board, and you always take days off when we're on, but never on the Monday show.
No, I never take off Mondays. The most high holy of religious Jewish days, and I would still do it. Yeah, I would do that show if, you know, maybe on my deathbed I will do that show someday, you know, just because I got to do it. Well, Marjorie and I have decided what we want to do for our vacation, for our big vacation.
Oh.
You ready? I don't know. She's going to look it up and see if it's possible. The Orient Express.
Okay. Well, no murders, though.
Huh?
Don't have any murders.
No murders. But the Orient Express, which goes from Rome, I believe, all the way into Asia. And
I'm talking about the real one, not the one at Disneyland.
No, I'm talking about the real one. And there isn't one at Disneyland.
I wouldn't know.
But, yeah, no, we you know, it'd be good. Be good. Interesting. Anyway.
It's going to be cool.
Huh?
This sounds cool.
Well, that's our latest desire. But I want to be able to do it fast. So, but she figured, look, we get on a train, and we stay on the train for the whole trip. Right?
I love train rides.
Probably stop at certain places and maybe let us get out for a while and we can go see some weird, you know. I've seen some documentaries on the Orient Express. It isn't the same as it was, you know, not back in the day when it was you traveled the Orient Express because you, you know, wanted some adventure and whatever. But it's still... You know, and it's a much more modern train than the old one was. But anyway, so Marjorie's going to look it up and see if we can book passage and do it soon. You know, and they probably have pretty good Wi-Fi, I would imagine, on the Orient Express. So I can maybe even do some video and stuff. So it'd be good. Anyway, you know, thank you very much. That's what we decided. Cool. So anyway, last night... our good friend Josh said, let's get together and just talk to each other. We have a group. We talk to each other on Saturday nights. Okay? And I said, well, you know, it is kind of Tuesday. It's my day off. I don't know if I feel like doing it. But then I did it. And, well, God, did we have a great discussion last night. I thought for a moment in the beginning of it to actually record it and then play it as tonight's show. And I wish I had, because it was a really great discussion about, you know, what's going on right now vis-a-vis Joe Biden.
I really would like to hear what Josh has to say about it.
Josh kind of agreed with me. You know, we kind of agreed that it would be best for the whole country if Joe Biden decided not to run.
I think he's ready almost. He's got Alzheimer's or something, dementia.
No, I don't think he necessarily has dementia, but he has something. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I understand it. I mean, it could be even the combination of a lot of medicine. He supposedly had a cold that day. It could be a combination of medicines that he's taking or whatever. But for whatever reason it wasn't a good, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't good optics.
No.
You know, it was terrible optics.
All the studies I see, like on channels other than Fox News, say he should leave for the good of the party. Another Democrat would have a better chance against Trump.
Well,
the only problem is, who's the other Democrat?
Well, the other Democrat, I think, has got to be, what's his name, from California?
Yep, mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom.
Probably, I think that would destroy the Democratic Party.
What?
That would destroy, if they pass over Kamala Harris because she's black.
You're absolutely, look, do you want to win, you want to lose?
You're going to lose because half of the black people out there aren't going to vote.
You know something? Once they hear what Newsom has to say, he's not going to have a problem winning them
he's
over.
He's got a big black vote here in California.
I mean, are you going to tell me that the black populace out there is so stupid they would vote against their best interests?
No.
I'm not talking about voting against. I'm saying not voting at all.
You run Kamala Harris, I'm telling you, you've lost the election.
Absolutely.
You already lost it because I'm telling you, you put anybody but her in there, you're not going to get enough black votes to beat
Trump. I disagree with you. I really disagree with you.
I'm the only black guy here, so.
Yeah, okay. So are you? Would you vote for Gavin Newsom?
I would, but that's just me.
Okay. Well, there's one black vote.
But I'm talking to lots of other black people that won't, because they would be pissed off because they ran Al Gore and he lost. They ran Mondale and he lost. They didn't care, but the vice president is always the one next in line. You're going to pass her up?
What if we had Kamala Harris move temporarily to Nevada, okay, and Gavin Newsom runs and keeps her as the vice presidential choice?
Yeah.
Then how would that play in the black community?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to talk to people about that, but it's still
a do you have do you black people have meetings? They get together and they decide.
Oh, yeah, every Tuesday. Yeah.
When you're not working,
together.
Well, you know, from the things I've seen, she doesn't have a real good chance. The interesting thing is Biden's war chest can only go to the vice president. If anybody else comes in, they've got to start their own.
No, he can dictate the war chest.
He can
dictate the war chest. Yes.
Yeah.
I think Gavin Newsom would be a great choice.
I think he's a great choice because he's got he's a stealth candidate, much like I thought of Obama as a stealth candidate. Obama was good looking. He was really articulate. Was a good speaker, you know, had all the things you needed to be president, and I think he won over America. I think that Newsom is the same thing, but I think that what you got to do, you know, the other problem you have with Kamala Harris is she is, at least in people's minds, same old, same old. Okay.
So is Gavin Newsom.
Hmm?
How's Gavin Newsom any different from Biden?
Try about 30 years.
Well, I'm not, besides
try
that,
about 30 years and try about state. Right now, far more articulate than Biden is, could go into it, could, and who could go, who could go into a debate and make mincemeat out of Donald Trump?
Obviously he could do that.
Okay, so wouldn't you want to see that?
Yes.
You know, all I'm saying is we got to be in it to win it here. And I don't think that, and I like Kamala Harris. I always have.
I do too. I don't know what everybody thinks is so bad about her.
Well, you know what it is? It's the same thing that most vice presidents have as a rope around their neck. They're always looked upon as just, they don't see them doing anything that much. Hi, Tony. They don't see them doing that much, you know.
Nevertheless, Al Gore got the run for president in 2000.
Yeah, and what happened?
Yeah, Walter Mondale got the run. I'm just saying, as long as it's a white man, they get to go. But if it's a black man or a black woman, they don't
To begin with, white, blacks in America have no reason to bitch. A couple of presidents ago, we had a black president, for crying out loud. What, he wasn't black enough for black people?
Black people love Barack Obama.
You know, if Biden stepped down, she is welcome to run.
He should step down and let her be president.
What? Who said what?
Pam.
What did Pam say?
Come on, Pam.
Come on, Pam. Come on.
100%.
Join in on this discussion. We need.
I'm going to join in. I'm with Charlie 100%.
See?
Yes. Because not only are you going to piss off the black community, you're going to piss off a lot of Democratic women.
Women, yes.
And how do you, when on earth have you ever passed over the vice president? The only reason you're going to pass over because.
Teddy Roosevelt.
How many of those women, when they see Gavin Newsom, might start swooning a little?
Oh, for Pete's sake, Al. That's how we vote. That's how women vote, because he's cute.
Hey.
Come on. Come into the 21st century.
Well, I'm coming
into
the 21st
century. You know, Alex, when it comes to debates, Kamala could kick his ass.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Forget about race. She's a prosecutor.
Yeah,
you got a point there. You got a good point there.
And she's been super active about
some
the,
people
abortion thing.
Some people who I talked to in California felt that she wasn't a particularly good district attorney or a particularly good attorney general.
Yep.
So like you know,
I agree too.
Yeah, I mean, I like her. You know, I've never had anything against her except I think she dated Willie Brown, who I can't stand. You know, because I can.
He said he never watched your show, so we're okay.
The heart loves what the heart loves. You can't fault her for that.
Yeah, but I mean, I think she was. I think she's very accomplished and everything else. But right now, we got to win.
Yeah, I mean, we got to win. Yeah, I think we're going to win. I'm not even worried.
And if you run Kamala Harris, yeah. We might not. If you run Gavin Newsom, we may lose a few blacks, but I'll tell you, if we run Kamala Harris, we're going to lose a lot of whites.
You know, every time I'm watching the news,
and the fact that we're even here talking about losing blacks or whites is, you know, really pathetic.
Every time we talk about reality about Biden. Well, this is reality.
I think we all agree. Look, I think so far it sounds like we all agree that Biden should not run. You know,
I think he's got to, though, Alex.
He's still old. I saw a video of him speaking in a debate in 2012 with another fellow. I forget what the other guy's name was. But there's such a big difference from then to now.
Go back to 2020. Go back to 2020. Yeah. He's alert. He's terrific. He really did a good job there. What we saw the other night, I almost had to turn the TV set off because I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
You know,
the thing is, his family shouldn't even be putting him out there.
They should have
told him that you're done.
Only reason he's still running now at this very minute is his ego. You know? And my feeling is
I think it's Dr. Jill's ego. I think Dr. Jill is running him. She's running the presidency now.
Well,
Nancy Reagan.
Yes. Right? Yes. Good example.
Yeah.
To begin with, he is too old to be president. And as somebody who's approximately within his age range, I'm not being ageist about this. I mean, I know what I'm capable of at my age and the kind of lapses of memory and a certain laziness that I have because of my getting older. I know that my stamina isn't what it was, and I know what it's like to be this age. And knowing that, I feel that he should not be running. You know, And he's doing a great disservice to America and doing a great disservice to the Democratic Party. If he'd like to leave with a legacy, with a great legacy, he should quit now. Hello, Don Giller.
Hey.
How are you, Don?
I'm not among the majority of everyone there who thinks he's a dropout.
Really? You believe he should run?
I believe that everyone, including this panel, is caught up in this ridiculous media narrative.
Well, I agree with Don. I think they want him to drop out, Don, because the media wants Trump to win. They want him to
compete with somebody else, Tony.
I'm not buying that either.
What I read today is some Republican.
The media is not a monolith.
Yeah, but some Republican said today, and this is a great, amazing what he said. He said, and I can't remember who the Republican was, that really we want to run against Joe Biden because we think we can win. We don't want to run against somebody else, and we don't want them doing bait and switch. What? Do they even know what bait and switch is? You know, this isn't baiting and switching. But, you know, I mean, the thing here is, Don, you got to admit, is to win. Okay?
And he will win.
Wow. How? He's down 6 points.
According to one poll. Another poll, there was another poll where
he had a problem, too. Yeah.
Another poll has Trump at 50 and Biden at 48. It means nothing. It has the bottom. He has not cratered.
Okay. Now, let me just ask you this, okay? Because I always could believe that we should stick with the date we brought to the dance, yeah. You know? My question is, let's not think about next year. Let's think about 2 years down the line. He's a little bit older. Do you feel confident with him being president at that age?
I'm not thinking in those terms. I'm thinking of winning the election.
I'm thinking of not letting Trump get back in there.
And that's the first primary goal. And everything else will take care of themselves after.
Well, we all have the same, you know.
Yeah, we all want this to happen.
We all have the same aim here, except, of course, for Trucker Steve, who isn't an American and lives in Canada. But, you know. But he's watching this with a great amusement, right, Trucker Steve?
There's this great quote that, and I forget, he's an historian. His last name is Lichman, L-I-C. Mm-hmm. Do you know the name? I can't remember his first name. And he was interviewed, and he said, Republicans have no principles. Democrats have no spine.
Yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with the spine part. I mean, I think there are problems that the Democrats have. I think the kind of problem they have is being enmeshed in this current problem. They don't know how to solve it. You know? I mean, Biden doesn't even know how to solve it. Biden hasn't been anywhere for a week. He hasn't been in public. Outside of that one speech he gave the next day, which he was set to do, he hasn't done any interviews. He hasn't done anything.
He's doing one with Stephanopoulos very soon. I don't know when.
Yeah.
Two, Trump hasn't been anywhere either.
No, Trump hasn't been disappeared too. He hasn't.
They say, and I noticed it when I watched the debate, that he was kind of thrown off by Biden and how badly he was performing. Yeah. He didn't know how to react to that. At one point, remember, he says, well, I don't know what he just said, and probably he doesn't either. But he didn't say that in a mean way. He said that in almost the first time I've ever seen Trump this way, in a caring way.
It doesn't matter.
Well, what does matter, Don?
November, whenever it is. His name is Alan Lichman.
November 3rd.
November
3rd.
November 3rd,
yep.
November 3rd. Yeah.
If this had happened in October, then yes, there would be some alarm, some justified alarm. But it's not.
Well, there's going to be another debate, closer to the election.
September,
Do we wait for that and see him screw up there?
The debate last week had less public view than any previous debate.
Yeah.
Was that
and
true?
The only people who are obsessed with it are pundits and media and people who have their own scratch that. I don't know what their interests are. That's just a suspicion. But as I said, the polls, the numbers have not cratered. If they begin to, then yeah, there's a problem. But the problem is in the minds of pundits and people who are taking this way too seriously than it merits.
Well, Biden's outraised Trump almost 2-1 since the debate.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it seems everybody in this race who somehow has some kind of negative thing happen to them suddenly earns money. I mean, Trump gets convicted as a felon. What happens? Yeah, he raises $150 million or something.
He gets raised.
Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that this guy's even running for president and anybody's taking him seriously considering all the baggage.
So, I mean, why complain about it? That's reality.
Yeah, but nobody's calling for Trump to drop out. He's a convicted felon 34 times over. What about that? That's ridiculous.
Oh, but
everybody's calling for Biden to drop out. Nobody's calling for Trump.
Well, you know what got me is you tune in MSNBC and all these people, and they're just talking this stuff to death. And what it was the other day when the Supreme Court came out with this thing about he couldn't be prosecuted because he has presidential immunity, and then they voted on that, and they came out with the fact was basically he has presidential immunity in certain affairs of state, but if it isn't an affair of state, it doesn't have presidential immunity. But it's a case-by-case thing, so now you got to go each time that he does something and prove that it had nothing to do with his job in office.
Which means that none of these court cases are going to be decided by the election.
Oh, no, none
of
them.
That's a given.
No, I mean, if he's back in office, none of them will be decided because he'll just keep postponing it. Just keep postponing it. He'll never get
postpone
to
it. He'll just drop them.
He'll just drop it. Yeah.
I'm saying the Supreme Court will never get a chance to look at it because...
No. They won't.
Oh, the Supreme Court could look at it, but you know how they're going to come out. They're going to do everything. What they did with this decision was make it so that he would not have to go to any of these cases
before the
election. However, there's a thing here in New York, which he lost. And they were supposed to sentence him in August, I believe.
July.
No, it was supposed to be next week.
It was supposed to be this week? Okay. Anyway, they decided to hold it off, because they've got to figure out what's going on. Wait a minute. There's nothing going on. This case was not about him as president. This case was about him years ago.
But there were elements that do involve while he was president, and that's what there are.
They say there was certain evidence that was brought in about actions he had taken while he was president to show his morality or whatever, but that wasn't the case in point. The case in point was that he jimmied the records of his company and falsified his.
Yeah, no, we know that.
You know. So it has nothing to do.
That's not being argued.
Yeah, but I don't.
You can't do anything with that because they postponed the sentencing.
You know,
the issue is
you sentence him, you let him do his appeals, and if he wants to go to the Supreme Court again and say, "Is this part of my business being?" You know. Like, here's the thing with the case here in Washington, D.C., with him in January 6th. I want to know who paid for that podium and that little get-together out there when he gave his speech. Was that paid for by the taxpayers, or was that paid for by him? And if it was paid for by him, then it isn't a political thing that he was doing. It wasn't part of his...
I think Jimmy Thomas paid for that.
Huh?
Clarence Thomas's wife paid for that, I believe.
Did she really?
She paid for that. I think she paid for that whole speech and stuff.
Okay, so yeah. if the government, if the
where did you get that? She didn't do it. I don't. I mean, that's
the organization that she's
the organization
part of paid for that January 6th speech that Trump gave. Google it.
Yeah, because somebody set up that podium and that stage. And if we didn't pay for it, the government didn't pay for it, then it can't possibly be considered part of his job as president. Yes.
So, if I understand the Supreme Court right, and it's a mess, Trump could do anything he wants in office as president, again, if he becomes president. He could go after his adversaries or whatever. He should be not happy but worried. Because I guess Biden's president right now, and so what's stopping Biden from just locking Trump up, or worse?
Because he won't.
Because he won't.
Well, he won't because he's not that type of person, but you know.
His problem is even on a good day, he's almost too nice to debate Donald Trump. Because Trump just does nothing but lie and cast aspersions and say you're a crook. Yep. There wasn't a single thing that Trump did in that whole debate that had anything to do with what he was going to do if he became president. Mm-hmm. It was all about, you know, oh, you know, you're a crook, and you know, you and your whole family are crooks, and you know, he didn't say anything.
What about the golf game thing?
Well, they both got in that pissing match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to tell me that Trump is worse of a golfer than Biden? Biden doesn't own 3 golf courses. I mean, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, but just because you own a golf course doesn't mean you're good at golf.
Yeah. He buried his wife on the ninth hole.
I buried his wife on the ninth. Was it the ninth? I don't know where he buried her. I don't think it was on one of the holes.
On the ninth hole.
In Jersey, right?
Well, what they did on the ninth hole with their mouth open.
When you said that, I don't see you joking.
What are you saying? Wait a minute. Don. Don.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, Don.
I didn't mean to interrupt your golf stories. Charlie, I don't see anything.
Well, I'm Googling it now.
Yeah.
There were emails going back and forth.
Yeah. She was texting Meadows.
Yeah, so she was involved somehow.
I'm not questioning her involvement. But I think it was more not financial. I can't think of another word. More emotional rather than financial.
By the way, what are we going to do about the Supreme Court?
Let's the 7 of us figure it out.
They can't have lifetime jobs either. This is ridiculous.
What?
They're there forever. They have a job for life, right? That's the
But they're supposed
that's got to change.
Impartial. They obviously are not impartial.
Well, I don't know if anybody says the Supreme Court is supposed to be impartial, but the Supreme Court is supposed to make its decisions based upon the Constitution.
Right.
And their interpretation of the Constitution. I don't know how any of this had, you know, to have the idea that a president of the United States is immune from any kind of prosecution for his actions. Why, even while he's in office, you know. I mean, I understand what they're trying to say, but the burden of proof shouldn't be that he, you know, shouldn't be all of that. You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, it's ridiculous, you know.
I was going to show up tomorrow and Friday, but I guess not. I guess I can't.
You were going to show up where?
Here,
really?
Oh, you can by yourself.
Really? Why? Because it's a vague. What are you doing on the 4th of July?
He's learning how to count. He said the 7 of us could resolve the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
There's 8 of us on the show.
None of you are being allowed to leave until we solve 7. This problem.
Okay. Well, but yourself, too.
Yeah.
Okay, 6.
By the way, what are you doing on the 4th of July? Anything exciting, Don?
I'm in the weeds of this project. Also, I was hoping to find these folders that I've been looking for years in this filing cabinet that was until early this week buried behind a bookcase and
well, just look at the papers stacked up behind you.
Well, that's important stuff.
His taxes from 2014 that he plans to put in.
Actually, I found tax returns for 1986.
Oh, wow. Did you really? Why do I know? I keep mine. Why do we keep our tax returns from that long ago? Nobody's going to say, "Hey, you cheated back in 1980. Would you please show us your tax returns?"
I was thinking of a Simon and Garfunkel song from Bookends. The song, it's the last track on the first side called Bookends Theme.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lyrics is, "Preserving your memories, it's all you have. Yeah. It's all you have left," or something like that.
That's it.
Yeah, but income taxes your memories. If that's the best memories you have, you haven't had much of a life.
I'm sorry you brought it up.
I have every income tax I've ever filed since 1971. First time I ever filed it. Got every copy of it.
Yeah,
that's great. You only need to hold 7 years by law, I think.
I don't care what I need to hold. That's what I want to hold.
Yeah, mock him.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I need to hold on to any of them because my business manager has a copy of every one of them.
Yeah.
And look.
You know what Packer was nice enough to send me? Four brand new inkjet cartridges, just to change the subject real quick, because I know Dawn had the last thing, so last week it was cute. And they're not connected to the instant ink thing.
Yeah. But that's not a problem. The problem is, are you still having to use their instant ink thing in order to make your computer work?
It expires November 11th. When it expires, I pop their cartridges out. They stop billing me, and I put a new set in and start running.
But do you have to constantly use their cartridges, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to use HP.
Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah, well. You know, I've had problems with I ruined my last printer by using generic cartridges, so.
I use generic cartridges all the time, and I never had a problem until they did this
printers,
whole deal.
Repositories, and, you know.
No, I constantly could use their stuff in their printer and not have a problem at all. But it costs you, like, to fill them all up. It costs you something like $135 or something.
It does.
Whereas to fill up my Epson here, is the Epson? Yeah. The Epson with the ink that just goes in there costs you like $35. You know.
You got a lot of money. Why don't you have a laser printer?
I don't want a laser printer. Why would I want a laser printer?
It's cheaper to operate.
No, it's not. No, they're not.
Oh,
no. If you look at the
I work with Xerox. Laser printers
We're not talking about a big laser printer. We're talking about a home laser printer.
A home laser printer, the cartridges for that are expensive. Well, here, I'll look it up for you.
We'll
just go up to Amazon. We go to laser printer cartridges. Laser printer ink. Okay, let's see here. Ink cartridges, laser printer ink cartridges. Here we go. What do they cost? Okay. Oh, yeah. This is good. If you want color, right?
Yeah.
I don't need color.
Yeah, but most people want color.
Color's going to be expensive.
We're going to have to compare it against color because you're going to do color with these cartridges they gave you. A 4x4 high-yield toner cartridge, or 4-pack. Works with the HP Color printer, $599.
That's a 4-pack, so it works out to $125.
Okay, well here's this is a Palm Tree compatible toner cartridge replacement. It's not as bad as it used to be. They used to be terrible.
I looked into it before I started arguing with HP over these cartridges. Mm-hmm. The trouble is I don't have the footprint space in my office to put the laser printer is a lot bigger than my inkjet. It's 4 inches one way and 4 inches another way, and that footprint just wouldn't fit very well in here.
The original laser printers that HP came out with were so good and lasted so long that I finally had to, like, almost throw mine out a window in order to buy a new printer, right? It was like one of the first ones. It was the HP Laser Printer 2 or something it was. And it was, they were incredible. And in fact, people at big companies who were using them wanted to get the newest laser printer, right, from their own. But they couldn't until theirs went bad. And people were saying, oh, mine just went bad. And it was amazing how many times they found paper clips in the printers because somebody wanted a new printer. They were that good. They just wouldn't die.
They have changed dramatically. According to Consumer Reports, HP is towards the end of the line in quality and in print, in HP home laser printers. Canon and Epson are the top of the line ones now.
Well, here we are talking about ink again, aren't we, Don?
Not saying anything.
One of your favorite topics.
Sorry, Don.
I know when to shut up.
You got me last Friday on the end of the commercial. Josh brought me in about your new microphone, and then at the end, you got
microphone.
Me.
I don't have any microphone.
No, I have a new microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know.
So, yeah, I don't, you know, I don't, the only comparison I have is the last HP inkjet that I had, and it worked great, even with generic cartridges. But I put a generic in. Generics are...
How much longer are we going to talk about this subject?
Zero.
I think Trump needs a new...
I think we should have ended it where... We should have ended it when you said, look, HP sent me these cartridges. Good. Now on to other stuff.
And then somebody started giving me a hard time about, you got to use HP.
What? I won't buy another HP printer. But here I go. What are we talking about this for?
Let's talk about shavers. I just got a new Norelco shaver.
Oh, God.
I bought food at the supermarket today.
Did you really?
Yeah, let's talk about that. What'd you get?
Hey, by the way, you know something? At my supermarket, we've gotten to love this Breyers mint chip.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. And so we went.
No, it's dog food, Tony.
Can you let me finish what I'm saying without being out interrupting me? Because this is very important. And we went down there one day to get some because we had run out, and they had the freezer roped off, saying freezer broken.
Oh shit! No issue.
Well, I undid the wire and I got out some of the mint chip. And I handed it over to Marjorie, and it was all melted inside. She grabbed it and exploded everywhere.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, you know so right then now? we finally went back the other day, and they had some. Okay, they got the freezer fixed, and they had some. And then today we went in, and they don't have any. So now we got to eat the mint chip we've got very slowly.
Alex, I got a good ice cream for you for mint chip. My brother bought it for me. It's called Bunny Ice Cream. It's soft, but it's almost like Carvel. It's called Bunny, and they have different flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, chocolate mint. It's really good. I think it's better than Breyers, actually. I was just eating it watching the Stevie Van Zandt documentary. It's that addictive, yeah. He brought it home for me. I said, oh, this is good. I'm going to eat this whole thing, I said. Because I should eat it out of the thing.
What has this show become? We were talking politics. We were doing some intelligent discussions about things. You know, even Giller phones up and gets irate at the fact that we're going after Biden here and we should give the guy a chance. And other people are going, yeah, well, you can't do Kamala Harris. If you don't do Kamala Harris, the blacks in America are going to be mad at you, which, you know. When have we gotten to the point in this country where we worry about one group or another being pissed off at a candidate? You know?
It makes a difference whether you get elected or not.
If the blacks don't hate Donald Trump by now, Then they're the stupidest race on the face of the earth.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah. I'm going to send you ice cream, Alan.
You know,
it just got demonetized.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's important that we don't say, hey, you know, we can't do that because this group of people will be unhappy with it. Because we have split up America enough as it is already without creating that divisiveness ahead of time.
I'm not saying create anything. It's out there. It's there. Whether you want to deal with it or not is the issue.
You know, I mean, come on. We gave you Beyonce, for crying out loud. Leave us alone, okay?
I wish somebody gave me Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Charlie, you really think they wouldn't vote if they swapped her out?
I'm saying you piss off 20, 25 million, however many there are black people in the United States are passing over her.
I don't think there were 25 million blacks in America who said, look, we have a black vice president.
You might be right about that.
You know?
Well, you guys,
I'm saying,
to begin
every
with,
I never
thought about it. In fact, when you bring it up, I have to think for a second and go, oh, yeah, she is black. You know, because it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah,
you gotta piss off a bunch of females. That's half the population.
Well, I've been pissing off females all my life. Why stop now?
You guys are thinking about Gavin Newsom running, but what about Michelle Obama?
Nah, she wouldn't take it. She doesn't want it. Nah.
But that's not the only way to get away with it, is if you replace it with another black woman.
How about taking Gavin and making him in first place and him offering it to Michelle Obama for vice president?
Yeah. Somebody has to ask Michelle Obama, and I'm sure her answer would be, I've had enough of being at the White House, okay? Yeah. You know, she almost spent those 4-8 years biting her lip. You know, she wasn't that happy with having to live
Melania, right?
Huh?
Bites her lip all the time.
I saw a roast of Donald Trump on Comedy Central that took place in 2012, I think it was. And they showed Melania, and she was laughing her head off. She was alive, and she felt, you know, she had a smile on her face, and she looked radiant, really, to be very honest.
She just got married the year before, didn't
she? Yeah. Now, she looks like, really, I'm staying married to this guy because, I don't think she's losing reasons. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. When was the last time you ever saw her smile around Trump?
Right, but on that roast, she was smiling, and not because they were making fun of him. She was just enjoying herself.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say, when was the last time she saw his penis?
When's the last time he saw his penis?
Exactly. Yeah. Not in a while.
That's why he's got mirrors on every wall.
True.
Yeah. Yeah,
gold toilets. Who has gold toilets? I mean, really, come on.
Well, who thinks gold is, you know, everything's gold. Everything's gold.
Blue collar workers thinks he's one of them.
Yeah. So you got the dog with you, Trucker Steve?
Yeah, he's sleeping on the floor.
Is he sleeping right now?
He's right there. You see him?
There he is.
Oh, there he is. There. Where is he? Let me see here. There's your foot. Where's the dog? Oh, there he is. Oh, wow. He's knocked out, isn't he?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's zonked.
End of the day.
Yeah. He likes traveling with you, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So how's it going being now that you've got, you know, your kidney and everything like that? Is it all working out okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're fine? I mean, you don't do you have to, of course, go to a doctor on
every 3 months now.
Every 3 months.
You have
months.
To take meds, anti-rejection meds?
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until the day I croak.
I took anti-rejection meds, and I still couldn't get a girlfriend. I had to say that. How's this compared to the Letterman show, Don?
Considering it's been off the air for 9 years, I think I prefer the Letterman show.
Here's the thing, you know, Marjorie never got to see the Letterman show because it was on too late. So now all of a sudden she's discovered David Letterman on YouTube, and that's all she watches on YouTube is endless amounts of David.
Great.
And she has to admit that he was really brilliant. I mean, especially when he would just sit there by himself. He could have done a whole hour by himself. It was terrific. Just
I
terrific.
Liked when Elvis came on the show.
You mean Shecky?
Shecky, yeah.
Yeah.
I put together a Shecky is Elvis compilation.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's on Don Giller / HP Inkjet /
No, but what he is going to do is he is going to put together a compilation of this show where we just talk about inkjet printers.
Yeah, I could give that to everybody.
Yes. Sorry, Don.
If Don Giller put that together and then put it up with his name on it, nobody would ever pay attention to Don Giller's name on YouTube again.
It will have worked. Last week, back in 1968, John Lennon and Paul McCartney appeared on The Tonight Show. This was in mid-May 68 to promote Apple, which they had just formed. And Joe Garagiola was the guest host. Johnny was touring, doing stand-up in other parts of the country, so he wasn't there. And Tallulah Bankhead was so drunk, and she kept on interrupting. I taped the audio. Somebody somewhere taped maybe 5 minutes worth of footage from his home from his movie camera, his family's movie camera, and like snippets of that have appeared on YouTube. So what I did is I digitized the full, I think, 22-minute total interview, and then synced the footage that exists into where they're actually syncing the footage mm-hmm. with what they're saying, and put it up on YouTube, because apparently no one has ever put up the entire appearance.
Well, that's incredible.
Yeah, so that was fun. It's not going to get as many views as HP printing, but still, it was okay.
Yeah, let me ask you this though: it's on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
What's the title of it? So if we want to go looking for it, we can find it.
Let me see. Hang on. It's a tough one. John Lennon, Paul McCartney on The Tonight Show, May 14th, 1968, complete audio.
Wow. Okay.
And it's got 8.7 thousand views. That's for 3 days worth. So today's Wednesday. So yeah, I put it up, I think, Monday morning.
I bet NBC doesn't even have a copy of that.
Oh, they don't. NBC erased the tape.
Oh, really? Oh, those were the days when they went in and they were erasing a lot of them because
they couldn't afford
it. Well, wasn't it also that they couldn't afford it? They couldn't afford the space because these were those big 2-inch reels, right? And
expensive?
Huh?
Expensive.
Very expensive, but NBC had money to pay for them, right? If you wanted to videotape stuff, you had to buy these huge reels. Anyway, I think they ran a couple hundred bucks a reel, didn't they? Something like that. Amazing amount. But the fact was that they didn't, they couldn't keep them because they took up too much space. So at NBC at one point they said, this is before that.
Thumb drives. Yeah, this is 64 gig. It only
can I dollars. Finish what I was saying? I'm trying to explain it. Because I know the story. What they did is they went in and they said, let's take all these Tonight shows and erase the tapes and reuse them. That was the reason they got lost. Is because they just went. And finally, they stopped doing that. They realized they were making a big mistake by ruining it. There he is. There's the show. Oh, boy. Well, you've recreated some history here. But anyway, so I was with Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. And what they did is they recorded every Tonight Show, but they put it on 16-millimeter film so they could send it out to the troops. Okay? And then
When was this? What time period?
This is, I'm in the Navy in 1960. I got out, I went in 63, got out in 65. So I was there in that period of time. And they had all these tapes. They made about five kinescopes for every episode. And they also did that for a lot of other shows. So one day they decided they didn't have any room left. And I walked by a garbage bin that was filled completely with all these 16-millimeter films. And I didn't think to take one or two or three or see how many I could put under my arm and take home with me. Because they were throwing away a lot of the Tonight Shows. You know, so that's what happened with all that.
Did I ever tell you when Late Show ended? This was on a Wednesday, May 20th. Thursday was dumpster day when all these scavengers came out.
Right.
Yeah, and they threw out the stage. They threw out everything. They tore everything apart, and then fans came and retrieved as much as they could from these giant dumpsters. By Friday, security tightened so that there are now ropes and no one could access these giant dumpsters anymore. The following Monday, my dad was in town and my stepfamily and we all ate at a nearby restaurant. And after the restaurant, I left. It was maybe two or three blocks from the Sullivan Theater. So I walked down there. I also wanted to take pictures of the marquee because I heard that the next day they were going to start taking it down. And I decided to see what the security was like around the corner where the dumpster, the giant dumpster was gone. You know, this huge, you know, truck sized dumpster. And instead the regular smaller dumpsters were by the sidewalk unprotected. So I went in there, opened the dumpster, and found tons of videotapes.
Really?
And there are two dumpsters. And I was working on that one. Other people came by and they were working on the other dumpster. They had no interest in the videotapes because none of them had VCRs anymore. So I grabbed everything that I could grab. And it turns out they were tapes thrown out of, there was a writer named Joe Grossman.
Right, I know Joe Grossman, yeah.
They were his production tapes.
Wow.
Much of it consisted of raw rehearsals, outtakes.
Wow.
With Dave and Jude and the staff.
Anyway, listen, the theme is running, and I got to get out of here. But, boy, that's a find. You still have those tapes.
I'll continue it tomorrow.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Trucker Steve. Where are you, by the way, right now, Trucker Steve?
Trenton, Ontario.
Trenton, Ontario. Okay.
It's just east of Toronto.
Okay.
About an hour.
Thank you.
A couple hours.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you to Tony and, of course, Don Giller. It's always a pleasure. We're going to have lunch tomorrow, right? maybe he is expecting. Now he's probably thinking, like, did I really say I was going to have lunch with him? Oh my God! How do I get out of this? Anyway, listen, we've run out of time here. I gotta go. Everybody, wave goodbye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there they go. Okay, there's our citizen panel for tonight, and I'm here, and I'm going to say goodbye to you. We're not doing a show tomorrow night, not doing a show on Friday, but we'll be back here on Monday for the pop-up show, and then we will see you again, same time, same station in life, right here, 10:30, next Wednesday. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, tell her I love her, okay? Bye, everybody.